checking me out, you know. But, you know, on the last Wednesday night of every month is what I like to call Champions Night. And so, you know, we got to get the Champions kind of music going. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so you ready for this? It's Champions Night, okay? Come on. Football. I'm talking about people who are superior, who are winners, who have an attitude that says, I will never quit, I will never be defeated, and I will never give up. Those people that are champions are people that say, you know what? Doesn't matter how high the mountain is, I'm still going to go over. Doesn't matter how wide the valley, I'm still crossing. Do I have any champions in this room tonight? Come on now. Hallelujah. Woo. I feel that. I feel that. Well, welcome. We're glad that you're here tonight. I want to share with you about those 5 points real quickly. I'm going to lay them out for you because I believe this is a time when God is giving dreams to men and women, visions to men and women. And we are seeing things prophetically like we've never seen before. And we've got to get a prophetic eye, don't we, in this hour. And be able to forecast into our future. We need to begin to see what God is saying in this place. And you know, Walt Disney had an imagination, didn't he? And look what he created. He had an imagination. And when you think about what is an imagination, it's really a formation of a mental image. It's a formation of a mental image of something that is not perceived, something that is not real, or it doesn't exist at the moment. And also, it's not present to the senses, and that's vital. We cannot dictate our dreams by what we feel, by our senses, by what we touch, by what we're hearing. It is beyond all of that. It's mental images. It's mental creation. It's getting inspiration and revelation from God and being able to forecast that and begin to get a word from the scriptures on that. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But we need to stir up our imaginations, if you will. Listen to Romans 8, 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now here's a real key in achieving your goal and your vision. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For example, listen, to be free from failure, to be free from poverty, to be free from reproach, etc. Regardless, you and I have to be free from the law of sin and death. So if we are attached to the law of sin and death, that law will govern our future. So if we're attached to the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that law will govern our future. So for me to achieve a dream or a vision that God has birthed in my heart, I've got to constantly measure it by the fact, am I attached to the law of the spirit of life? Because it's only Christ that can make vision come to pass. Only Christ can bring the imagination or the creative ability of God in us to come to pass. To become a champion, you first have to think like a champion. Let me give you a definition of what a champion is. It's one that is clearly superior, one that has the attribute of a winner, one who fights, one who is a warrior. Those are champions. And a champion is someone that goes beyond conquest. That's more than a conqueror. You go beyond conquest. Listen to this. It's from the Greek word nikos. And it means superior, utmost, paramount, foremost, first rate, first class, top notch, preeminent, dominant, incomparable, more than a match for, unsurpassed, unequaled, and unrivaled by any person or thing. That's what more than a conqueror is. Wow, did you know you were that? Come on now. Did you know you were sitting next to that? Let me give it to you one more time. It actually means superior, utmost, paramount, foremost, first rate, first class, top notch, preeminent, dominant, incomparable, more than a match for, unsurpassed, unequaled, unrivaled by any person or thing. Look at somebody and say, you're just plain awesome. Whew. You are just plain awesome, man. You get down. That's right. You get down. Come on. And we got to start thinking like more than conquerors. We got to start thinking like champions. That we are winners. That we are overcomers. And that we can create God-given vision and bring it to pass in the earth. Based on our gifting, based on our passion, based on the leading of the Holy Ghost, staying in connection, what? To the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, making sure that that law is working in us. Listen to Genesis 13, 14 and 15. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, he said, lift up your eyes. Everybody say that with me. Lift up your eyes. And there's a real key. We've got to get vision, upward vision. We've got to see beyond where we are. And the enemy wants to keep us looking at where we are currently and what's happening. He wants us to keep our eyes on our present hindrances or our present setbacks or our present failures. But he's saying, lift up your eyes. So he tells Abraham, he says, now look from the place where you are. There's another key verse. Look from the place where you are. Stop looking down. Stop looking around. Start looking beyond where you are. We got to get a vision as a church, as an individual, as a group of people, as a ministry, whatever God has put in your heart. Look beyond where you are. Don't live your life limited to what you've already conquered. That's not what conquerors do. Conquerors are looking for land that have yet been conquered. They're looking for territory that is not yet under your rule. They're looking for places where they can bring the rulership of Christ into. And he tells him, I want you to look northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. So here it is. As far as you can see with your mind's eye or your imagination is how far you will go. Let me ask the question, how far do you see? Do you see past where you are? Do you see past this present setback you may be experiencing? Maybe you have a foreclosed home. Maybe you have a loss of a job. Maybe you have a physical ailment. Maybe you have someone that hurts your feelings. I mean, can you see beyond that? Or are you so consumed by the current conditions of your life that you are being limited and placed in boundaries, kind of corralled, captive? That's not what God wants for champions. Let me just tell you what a champion or more than a conqueror is. Again, I know this sounds redundant, but let me just say it. You're superior. You're utmost, paramount, foremost, first class, first rate, top notch, preeminent, dominant, incomparable, more than a match for, unsurpassed, unequaled, unrivaled by any person or thing. Why sit here ye until we die? Come on. When you're that kind of character, that kind of quality of person, I got a feeling there is absolutely nothing that you cannot do in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to agree with the Bible. I can do all things through Christ, amen, who strengthens me. I'm so thankful that he's made me to be more than a conqueror. So Joshua chapter 1, 3 and 4, he tells Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I'm going to give it to you. As I said to Moses, I'm going to do it for you. And imagination is something, or imaging, or mental creation, or beginning to see what God says. That's really what we're talking about. When you begin to see what God says, it's very elastic. And what I mean by that is it will stretch. It will go even beyond its original revealing to you. You'll begin to see something, and then all of a sudden, when you get a hold of it, it's so elastic. Imagination will just expand. It'll grow. Did you know that there is more to what you're seeing from God than what you thought? As a matter of fact, God has something for us in our life that eyes have not even seen and ears haven't even heard yet. And when you get there and you think that you finally got the revealing of what he was going to show you, it has such elasticity. When you touch it, it just gets bigger. It just stretches out. So I want you to begin thinking beyond yourself. Genesis 11 and 6, the Lord said this, the people are one. They have one language.
And what they begin to do now, nothing. Nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Their imagination became the guarantee of their attainments. Their imagination. It's a pace setter, if you will. Everybody needs a pace setter. I used to go out and run a lot and don't quite run as much now. I do a lot of stationary bikes and that kind of stuff for cardio. But I remember that when I would run on a pace, I would do a mile. I would do probably somewhere between a 10 to an 11-minute mile, sometimes a 12-minute mile. But when I got with someone who is a real aggressive runner, they would increase my pace. Because as I'm running with them, they're doing an 8 or 9 minute mile. And I'm thinking, hold on, maybe this is going to really be tough. Because if I'm going to stay in step with the pace setter, I'm going to have to increase my step. And imagination is a pace setter. It will keep you moving. It will keep you dissatisfied with where you are. And it will continually point to the future and what God has promised. Every one of us need to get a vision or imagination of what God has said in His Word. Romans 12, 2, for example. I like this because it levels the playing field. A lot of people think that some have preferential treatment from God. Some men think that only men can do certain things in the kingdom. But that's not true, ladies. I just want you to know that there's no distinction between male or female. Understand something, that God's not a respecter of persons. You say, well, if I was a Pentecostal here as a Baptist, I don't think I can get what God wants for me because I'm just a Baptist, or maybe a Jew versus a Greek. But listen to what Romans 12:10 says. There is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. All of a sudden, I'm seeing the level ground. It doesn't matter if I got 2 nickels in my pocket. I don't have to be defined by what I don't have. I have to be defined by what I see. And I understand that God is rich toward those who do what? Call. How much does it cost you to call upon the Lord? What is it going to cost you? Do you got to have gold? You got to have silver? Do you got to have all your ducks in a row? No. All you got to do is open up your mouth and allow a cry of faith to come up out of it. And God said He is rich toward those who will call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That means it doesn't matter if I'm young or old. Doesn't matter what my ethnicity is. Doesn't matter what my education is. I can call just like you can call. A Harvard graduate has to call. A high school dropout has to call. An old man has to call. A young man has to call. A male has to call. A female has to call. Come on, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So now I'm feeling real good about my future. The word levels a playing ground. Never allow yourself to think failure. Never allow yourself to think failure. Why? Because every act begins with a thought. And as soon as you begin to think less than more than a conqueror, the nikos, you begin thinking less, you'll begin to act less. So you have to superimpose God's pictures in your mind over failure, over loss, over insecurity, over rejection. And this isn't easy, but it's a lifelong process. But you have to learn how to fight. How do you fight? By calling, by seeing what God said. And before you know it, you begin seeing yourself lifted out of where you've always been. You become lifted out of all of your negativity. Secondly, revelation. You got to have revelation if you're going to get imagination. What do I mean by that? You've got to place your imagination or your revelation, I mean your imagination or your vision or your dream in the nesting of Scripture. Don't put your vision and your revelation or your dreams in your own ideologies or your own thought process. You've got to lay them in the nest of Scripture. You've got to get a word. You've got to get a word. So when you've got a vision, you've got to lay that vision in the nest of Scripture. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Revelation in God's word is the color commentator of your imagination or dream. You ever listen to sports commentators? There's one guy that's just talking about, you know, first down, second down, 3 yards to go. But then there's another person next to him. They call them the color commentator. They're the ones that are giving you all the information, the background on that player, and some of the thinking about what they're calling and why they're doing what they're doing and what it takes to achieve what they're doing. Let me tell you what the word, you get a word from God concerning your future and concerning your vision, it becomes the color commentator to where you're going. It puts meat on the bone. It gives you the feeling that you're going to succeed because you've got a description of where you're headed. And only from the Word of God will that really stick to your life. Your dream and imagination, your vision, must locate and follow appropriate instruction in Scripture. Please put that down. Don't allow extra biblical admonitions to determine your direction. Don't let just a word from somebody prophetically determine your direction. Get a word out of the Bible. Amen? Get a word out of the Bible. And if you desire great futures, you're going to have great revelations. So you got to go deep. You want to go high, you got to go deep. I was doing a little bit of study today on the redwoods, the sequoia trees out in the west of our great nation. And I found out that for every foot high it grows, they don't have tap roots. Tap roots, like a palm tree, if it's 30 feet high, they have a root that goes down 30 feet, but not the sequoia. When it goes up 30 feet, it will three times spread out right and left. Its roots go out 3 feet for every 1 foot of growth. And what's interesting about that, a tree that may be 300 feet high, that could be 1,400 years old or even older, has understanding now, next to another redwood, it has clustered itself because it knows that it has to intertwine with the other tree. And so there's 900 feet to the 300 feet height, 900 feet of root systems that's seeking out something else to cling to, something else to hold on to. And its strength is in its cluster. Let me tell you about revelation. Revelation of God's word is like that root system that will go out from you and will hold on to the rock, the solid rock, so that when the winds blow and the storms come, and ages come and ages go. Think about the tree. There's one tree. It's a famous redwood. I forget the name of it. But they say it's 1,400 years old. Think about this. It was 900 years old when Christopher Columbus discovered America. It was like, where you been all my life? He was standing there scarred. It had charred. It had all kinds of marks of adversity on it. But it still stood tall and strong, because it learned how to cluster itself with the strength around it. Don't fly solo in your vision. Get a word from God and intertwine your life around it. Proverbs 25:2 says, there are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. We're talking about imagination needs revelation, but revelation needs inspiration. I don't know about you, but I have to be inspired. I have to be inspired. I think I told the story. Maybe I haven't told it here. I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to remember where I've told it. But a little boy was in the school play. He was so excited. He came home. He said, Dad, I'm in the school play. He said, would you come out and watch us rehearse? And he said, yeah. He said, that'll be great. So he's watching him, and in the play, his son actually gets shot. And his one line is, oh, I've been shot. And he falls down on the stage and he dies. And so his dad was watching him, and the gun goes off, and his son falls to the ground first he says, oh, I've been shot. And he falls to the ground. His dad goes, oh, that was terrible. You know, and the director's going, can you put a little more emphasis in that? You know, and the kid just couldn't get it. And some of the other, you know, actors were thinking, man, he's going to ruin the play. So dad got an idea. He got a little inspiration. And so he went home and got his pellet gun. And he timed it that when his son came to his part, when the gun went off, he shot his son in the behind. And at the very moment he he cried out, "Ow! I've been shot!" And he fell to the ground. And sometimes we just need a little inspiration, right? You know what I'm talking about? And it usually comes from other people who will inspire us. Someone said, if you have no one to inspire you, you will expire. Watch this, Hebrews 6:12. This is a great scripture. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't get sluggish in your daily walk. Don't get sluggish in your expectation. Don't get sluggish in the pursuit of your dreams. Don't get sluggish in the nesting of those dreams in the scripture. Don't get sluggish. How? How can you prevent that? By following those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Every human achievement is a product of inspiration. My wife and I, not long ago, were visiting the Edison Museum in Florida. And it's quite a display of all of his private quarters, as well as some of his inventory of inventions. And what I found out about him is that Thomas Edison lived next door to a very inspiring neighbor. Do you know who his neighbor was? Henry Ford. Now, that's a neighbor that you want to be living next door to. Henry Ford, of course, the Model T, and he had an engineering mind, a creative mind. He was a man of imagination, but he also was a man of inspiration. And living next door to someone that can inspire you by the fact that they're achieving. You know, when I like to see people achieve, I don't get jealous. I get inspired. When I see people break through, I don't wonder where my blessing is. I get inspired because I know what the Bible says, that God's not a respecter of persons, that God could call. Whoever calls, God's going to answer. I got a mouth just like they do. As a matter of fact, my mouth may be just a little bit bigger than their mouth. So I know that I can call upon the Lord. So you inspire me when you achieve. Inspiration is absolutely essential. And we need to learn how to be inspired. Isaac Newton said this, "If I've seen any farther, it is by standing on the shoulders of them who have gone before me." No matter how far others travel, there's going to be a cost. And it's going to many times be in the area of inspiration. Most of us run out of enthusiasm. We run out of inspiration because we can't find anybody to tell us we can do it. But when you find somebody who believes in you, it changes everything. Job 32:8, there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. Young sports players often refer to established athletes that had gone before them as being their inspiration. They looked at them, they watched them as a young player, and they tried to model them. They tried to move their craft toward what they saw demonstrated on the field or on the court. The passion of others helps us to set the bar of our future. That's why you and I, when we come to church, when we do our ministries around here, we can't do it just for ourselves. We've got to do it for inspirational sake. As an usher, I want to be so inspiring to young men and women when they walk through the door. I set the bar high. My standard is high as a worship leader, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a sound technician, as a children's minister, as an evangelist. It really doesn't matter. Understand that you are someone's inspiration. I remember when we first were introduced to charismatic worship. This was a long time ago, way back in the 1980s. Do you remember John and Ann Jimenez in Rock Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia? Maybe some of you do, some of you don't. Kind of before your time, there's one hand over there. You're inspiring me. Hey, all right. And I watched them on TV and I saw this little Hispanic guy. He's up there bouncing around, dancing and shouting. I thought, man, I've never seen that in church. And it so inspired me. I said, I want to do that in my church. And I tried doing that in my church and everybody's just looking at me like, you are not inspiring me. This is not going to be happening in our church. So I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to take a busload of uninspired people into an atmosphere of inspiration. Were you guys on that bus? You didn't go, but you knew about it. So I rented a deluxe coach bus, and I told everybody, hey, I'm going to go down to Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I want to visit the Rock Church, and I want you guys to see it, because I know that if you see it, you'll be able to believe it, and you'll be able to achieve it, and you'll come back and inspire the rest of these deadheads in here. I didn't say it like that, but I was thinking that. So we got on the bus and down went to Virginia Beach, Virginia. We called ahead and said we were coming and where could we park the bus. My goodness, you'd have thought we were rock stars. We pulled up in the parking lot. Their ushers came out to greet us. They took the bus and parked it. They ushered us in. They put me up on the platform with Pastor John Jimenez. I had never met him before in my life. They treated me like I was some big preacher or something. I'm sitting up there going, oh my gosh, you know. And they're praising God and they've got their full orchestra and band. You know what they were wearing? Tuxedos. John Jimenez's worship team wore tuxedos. I said, ooh, I wonder if I can get my guys to wear tuxedos. I'm not kidding you. I was inspired. Then he took me around and showed me. He said, this is our engine room. I said, an engine room? What's that? And we walked in. There were prayer cells all around this big, large room. People in there. Oh, hallelujah. God, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, bless Pastor. And Father God, just some miracles take place. People were praying. He said, you got to have an engine room. He said, you have an engine room? I said, no, but you know what? You just inspired me to get one. On our way back, I got our worship team together. I said, hey. You know what I want you guys to do? We're going to buy tuxedos. And we're all going to dress up in tuxedos on Sunday morning. They said, Pastor, you are crazy. I said, yeah, but I saw it. It's so cool. So we went down to Rockets in downtown Lorain. I said, what kind of price can you give me on 10 black tuxedos and white shirts? And we put them all in tuxedos. And I started worship. I said, I'm going to present worship with exuberance and dancing before the Lord and tambourine playing in our church. And I got up there and I started preaching on praise. And I said, you know, when the Holy Spirit moves and you begin to feel like you got to dance before Him. But before I did that, I came out wrapped up in chains. And I said, some of us come to church and we're all bound up. But when the Holy Ghost begins to move and we start taking off the chains and I started dancing, I'm running around the sanctuary. We had these curtains over the windows and I'm running up behind the curtains and I'm thinking, hallelujah, woohoo, glory. I think about 200 people left the church that Sunday. Wasn't very inspiring. Man, I was inspired. I'll never forget the time that Dr. Summerall said, come on, let's walk. I want to walk you through my radio station. I said, okay. He said, I want to walk you through my printing press, my publishing house down below the church. It was built in the round and down below the whole basement. Remember, Tina? Do you remember going down there? It was a printing press. And they had pallets of books being sent to 150 nations of the world. He said, I want you to see this. I didn't understand why he was showing it. I thought he was bragging. He was trying to inspire me. He took me to the hangar where the C-130 was parked. He said, go on up into the cockpit. Go up there and just walk through it. Sit in there. I'm in this big C-130 military aircraft thinking, wow, and you own this? How do you pay for something like this? I remember when he took me to his flight office. His flight office where his pilots chart out his travels for the next country of where he'll be preaching that night. I thought, I want a flight office. I want a C-130. Just like them tuxedos. So I come back to the church and I start announcing it. Hey, everybody, I'm going to buy a plane. And I want a C-130 just like these tuxedos. Sometimes you have too much inspiration and not enough revelation and way too much imagination. So you got to kind of balance this stuff out, right? All right. But inspiration is important. Because when you're around inspiring people, what's in them can be released to you. Absolutely. Number whatever it is, four, preparation. Luke 14:28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? I could tell you stories about that kind of stuff in inspiration that would probably keep us here till midnight. I've been so inspired by people. And it is what helped me to become who I am today. Did you know you inspire me? I'm inspired. All right, let's get back to preparation. The quality of your preparation, think about this, is what eventually determines the level of your manifestation. When preparation meets opportunity, someone said, that's success. None was greater than John, but it required great preparation for John to be a great voice in the wilderness. It took great preparation to introduce a great Savior. Now think about that with me. None greater than John. That's what Jesus said. And John was crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Because preparation for a way to introduce greatness has to be great in itself. It has to meet the level of manifestation. Now think about it with me. If your preparation is minimal every day in your Christian life, if your preparation is sluggish, if your preparation is lackadaisical, then you cannot expect to achieve greatness. Preparation is the time you seek answers and direction to the personal issues connected to the realization of your dream. Resolving any hindrance that may prevent you from actualizing your dream. Prepare the way of the Lord involves your personal disciplines that you practice daily. His way requires preparation. Otherwise, the scripture would not have admonished us accordingly. Ask yourself, is my preparation level equal to the desired level of the achievement I'm striving for? If it's not, then rethink your preparation. Or find better inspiration. Or go deeper in revelation. Or get a vision from God. These are the simple steps of becoming conquerors, becoming champions in life. Ecclesiastes 5:9, moreover, the profit of the land is for all. Even the king is served from the field. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor, listen, in all labor there's profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. All right, I'm going to make a statement. A lot of young people don't like me making these kind of statements. Okay, if you're not a hard worker, you will live as a slave most of your life. Joseph couldn't remain a slave because he was a hard worker. He was a dreamer. He was inspired and he had revelation. He had preparation. And as a result, he achieved because he understood the final one, supplication. All of these four lead to this final quality of achieving our goals. You know, if God doesn't give the increase, you can sow and you can water and you can plant, but God gives the increase. 127 of Psalm 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Remember now, the function of your word-based imagination is not a function of hard work or expertise alone. It is also a function of God's grace and mercy. So clothe it in the Holy Spirit. Bathe it in prayer. Bring it before the Lord continually. Let God's grace and mercy cover it. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. The desires of your heart can only come to pass by asking God for help. Have you asked Him today? I was asking Him tonight. I don't know how many times I've preached, stood before people, 30 plus years, 3 times a week, probably more like 4 to 5 times a week. That's a lot of speaking. But driving here tonight, I felt as though my soul was sinking. I felt like I needed to be lifted. I sat in my office while you were singing with my head bowed and my head in my hands. And I said, God, for the sake of your people, inspire me tonight. I understand that I've prepared, I've studied, I've written, I've typed, I've come together with you tonight. But unless God builds the house, unless His grace and mercy somehow covers me, I am not going to do anything significant here this evening. And neither will you. Understand that it is God who's telling us to go through the gates. Isaiah 62:10, one of my favorite scriptures. Prepare the way for the people. Prepare the way for the people. This is all about others. See, if your imagination and your dreams and your vision and revelation and your inspiration and your preparation and all of this is not for the sake of other people, then it's not in God's plan. It's not just about you. This is about God's people. This is about building the kingdom. This is about His children. 1 Corinthians 3:6. I like this scripture. Paul said this, I planted, Apollos watered. Come on, say it with me. But God gave the increase. You and I cannot turn one spot on a leopard. You and I cannot grow 1 millimeter larger. You and I have no ability to call anything into existence apart from God. So don't, please, with your visions and imagination and revelation and inspiration and preparation, think that it can be achieved without heartfelt supplication. 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 It's tenacity with God. You cannot bring increase where there's been no activity. God can't bring an increase when you haven't planted the seed. Notice Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. Then God gave increase. Some of us sit back on our laurels and say, God, give me increase. And God said, you haven't put anything in the ground. You haven't dug around it. You haven't fertilized it. You haven't been inspired. I think that in these kind of times in which we live, you got to find people that are inspirational to you. You got to find people that have revelation. Because it's revelation. One revelation from God can change your life forever. I can recall the early years when we first met Dr. Summerall in South Bend, Indiana. I would drive on a Thursday night. My services were Wednesday night, like tonight. On Thursday night, I would drive all the way to South Bend, 4.5 hours, to sit in a midweek service. I sat there to hear him preach. He had a church of 3,000 on Wednesday night. There was maybe 200 there. I sat down, wondered where everybody was. Here's a man of great faith, inspiration, revelation, preparation, supplication, and he was talking. I got one word. Many times, more than one, but at least one word that I would write down that would literally change the course of our church. One word that would literally change the course of my personal life. That would impact me and challenge me to the future. And we are today because of that one word that God gave. So stay active in your faith. Pursue. Run down, look for, don't become weary and well-doing, because it's in those moments that God will bring increase. But you've got to stir up the pot, so to speak. You have the support of heaven standing behind you tonight. There's nothing impossible if you can set your mind on it. Find it in the Word. Stay inspired. Give yourself to preparation and then invite God into your life. And finally, stand your ground in faith until it comes to pass. Don't you quit. Don't you get weary. Don't you let anybody offend you out of the church. I've been hearing some of that lately. Oh, I'm offended. I thought, I got a sermon for that. I'm going to have to pull it out. I haven't preached it in a while. But you remember Malchus? He was the servant of the high priest. Peter cut his ear off. Unprovoked, I think he had right to be offended. But Jesus saw his offense and healed him. He had the option, though, to turn from Jesus' healing, put that old severed ear in his pocket, and go over to First Church and say, look what they did to me over there. They cut me. They hurt me. They offended me. It's a great sermon. I'm going to have to preach it sometime. The problem with people that are offended is you can always smell decaying flesh. Because the one that hurt you is not the one that can heal you. It's only Jesus. That was a bonus tonight. That was because it's Champions Night. I just gave you a little bonus. All right. Let me close it out. Champion, one that is clearly superior, has the attributes of a winner. One who fights is a warrior. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It means to thoroughly conquer and go beyond conquest. Conqueror is from the Greek word nikos. And it wasn't enough for Paul, so he also added the word huper. Huper, meaning over and above and beyond. So he actually said, you are a conqueror, but you are a huper conqueror. You are a over and above and beyond conqueror. You almost have to tell yourself every day who you are in Christ. Because your experiences, people in your lives, your failures, life generally will try to redefine you. And they will tell you that you're sinking. I heard it today. And I know the sermon. So if it happens to me, I know it will happen to you. And if it happens to you, it probably happens to the person that you're connected with. That's why we need each other, sequoia tree. We're redwoods. Our roots have to go out and intertwine with one another's heart, love, faith, and patience. And it's what makes us strong. A redwood can't stand alone. It would topple at the first storm. So don't let the devil talk you in to standing alone and going out there somewhere thinking you don't need the church. That is an absolute lie of the devil. One last time. Superior, utmost, paramount. Do we have that on the screen? No, that's my fault. Superior, utmost, paramount, foremost, first rate, first class, top notch, preeminent, dominant, incomparable, more than a match for, unsurpassed, unequaled, unrivaled by any person or thing. You're just plain awesome. You're an enormous overcomer. So get your eyes off your past failures, your present challenges and limitations, and begin to focus on the power of the resurrection that lives inside of you. Come on, guys. This is Champions Night. And it's time for us to begin walking in our championship, right? Because Jesus gave way too much for us to sit back and be marginal in our faith. We got to go over the top in every area of our life. Stand up with me, please. We'll give you those 5 points one last time. Imagination, revelation, inspiration, preparation, supplication. All right? Also, I want to say thank you for your financial gifts and support. Don't forget, we have the offering on the way out tonight. Your offering is really helping us to achieve what God has called us to do. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., I'll be back here meeting with the owners of the building and discussing and negotiating the possibility of moving that wall. You've responded beautifully financially. And you voted with, as far as I'm concerned, I saw the increase financially the last 2 weeks when I mentioned it. We've seen an increase over our average. I thought, okay, that's, they're saying let's move forward. So we'll see if they can give us a good deal. We're not going to just, you know, throw away money. We're going to do it with good stewardship in mind. But pray for us at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, would you? I appreciate that so much. Let's pray. Lord God, tonight we look to heaven, Father, not to this earth, because we know that this is a temporary home. And what we're doing here on earth, Father, is to manifest the kingdom, those things that are already done and accomplished in heaven. Our goal, Father, is to manifest Jesus. Our goal, O God, is to create kingdom connection. Father God, that we all, as well, would be people of inspiration, preparation, supplication. That we understand that we can do nothing apart from you. But in you, Lord Jesus, we can do all things. For Christ loves us and he has given us all that we will ever need. Lord, I want to bless the people tonight because I know that many of us have been defined by our experiences. We feel defeated. We feel like we can't move on and go up higher. But Lord, I just pray tonight that the cloak of that deception would be lifted and that people would walk into a new day in a new way. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the house of God. Thank you for this facility, Lord. Thank you that you've given us a place to gather and to meet like this. We bless our children tonight, those that are gathered in those rooms, with a youth group tonight, Father. Bless them. We thank you, Father God, for studio and here this evening. We just know, Lord God, that our times are in your hands. So with me right now, would you be so kind just to lift your hands up to heaven? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now just take a minute to thank him that you are that champion. Come on. Begin to thank him that you are more than that conqueror. Begin to thank him that you will commit yourself tonight to imagination. You will begin to dream again. You'll begin to catch your vision where it needs to be in your heart. Come on, tell him. Thank you, Lord. Father, I will dream again. I will dream again. I thank you, Lord, that I will have revelation. I thank you, Lord, that I will look for inspiration. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I will have preparation. Thank you, Father, that I will experience supplication. I thank you tonight, Lord God, because I believe you have called me for such a time as this. I thank you, Lord, that I go to a church of great conquerors, champions, Father. I thank you that I hang out with people who are not willing to be marginal or moderate, but Father, are people that are willing to be sold out, to go all the way, to move in the supernatural, to be prophetic, to see what you see in this hour, in this generation. And for this, Father, we'll give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, live right, love everybody, pray hard, give your offering on the way out. We'll see you on Sunday morning, right? Bill Wilson, by the way.